Happy Father's Day, and let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for being the Father of all of us who believe. And we thank you for this day that you have given us to be a witness of your love, to act in a way that shows that we put you first in our lives, Father. Especially as fathers, Father God, as we lead our families and try to be leaders out there in the world. Father, give us the strength and the peace, the courage and the hope that we need each day. We give you all the glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to watch a video. Happy Father's Day.
Today is Father's Day. And if you haven't received something already, you dads out there might be expecting a gift or two. Maybe some really cool stuff. And maybe some, well, not so much. I'm sure you've gotten some things over the years that you just can't help but laugh at. And probably a few things that really mean a lot. But you know what, dads? The most important gift for this Father's Day isn't the one you receive. It's the one you give. And the greatest gift you can give is your example. Every day your kids are watching as you grow closer to God. They'll see you pray and study the Bible. They'll notice how you love your wife and how you love your neighbors. They'll see the fruit that comes from a life filled with Jesus. And that gift? Well, that's priceless. It's not something we can repay with anything you'll get from us today. But hopefully one day, it'll be a gift we can also give. Happy Father's Day.
Amen, amen. All right. Thank you to all the fathers for all the gifts that we give our families. Amen. So happy Father's Day. My sermon message today is free will to be a witness. And so on holidays, a lot of times we'll do a topical sermon and we'll move around in the Bibles to different places. But as you know, we do expository preaching here. And today's scripture that we just happen to be in, I believe, happened to be a good one for today's message on Father's Day. Amen? So we're just going to keep on plowing right through 1 Corinthians, and we're going to finish up chapter 10. Amen? Today. So praise God for that. The Bible gives us four Christian character traits that can build a lasting legacy for the Lord. The second trait is to live a life that serves with intensity. Amen? Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving, and whatever we do." Amen? Rick Warren once did a study of youth who were asked, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Not one child said, of course, that I want my gifts, talents, and abilities and opportunities to serve other people. Our American dreams and our way of thinking have caused children to set their focus on being like celebrities, amen, or being a winner at all costs, amen. But a Christian father today will strive to live before his children a life of servanthood. Amen. A life of servanthood with ambitions of serving for the purpose of glorifying Christ. Amen. Before those that he serves, right? Glorifying Christ. He serves hoping that the people he works with or goes to school with or whatever might ask about the things of the Lord so he can be a witness. Amen. A Christian father who's been taught by the Holy Spirit how to work for the Lord, he is enthusiastic and he's eager to do his work. He serves with intensity no matter what he's asked to do. The happiest janitor is the one who cleans the office, the shop, and the restroom and does it all as if Christ is standing right next to him. Amen. Does it all as if Christ was right next to him. The most diligent father is the one who manages his affairs and business in a way that expresses recognition of daily accountability. That's going to be a key word in the message today. Amen? Accountability. Those in this world see employees as people that just are waiting for a paycheck. Amen? That's people in the world. Christian fathers who serve for the right reasons are looking to leave a heritage. Amen? A heritage that expresses servanthood unto God. The greatest legacy a Christian father can receive outside of Christ Jesus is sons and daughters who know the joy of doing all their labor as if unto the Lord as well. Praise God for that. And sons and daughters who love sharing the message of Christ's love, amen, to a lost and dying world, because that's what we're living in, amen, a lost and dying world. Fathers should be serving God and family with Christian intensity. So thank you to all the fathers today, especially our Father God in heaven. Amen? Now this Father's Day message is actually going to connect to last week's message, okay, about demonic connection. And Paul's going to be teaching about how we should mature as believers and, of course, as fathers in the world. It's also going to tell us what we're called to do as maturing believers living in a culture that, for the most part, is against the Lord. Amen? For the most part. And, of course, Paul's going to talk about how we should be glorifying God, the greatest Father, amen, while building up our families. Right? Building up our families. Let's also remember Paul speaking in this text to mature believers in the Corinthian church, okay? He's trying to tell them how a mature believer should be conducting themselves in the world, right? Because we should be the salt and the light. We should be different in the world, amen? Not just to be faithful to God and respect His teachings, but also to live our lives for others, right? The world thinks that is foolishness, amen? But we live our lives for others. Because we're imitating Christ, amen? We're trying to imitate Christ. And, you know, they should know we are Christians by our love, amen? I keep saying that almost every message, but it's so powerful, right? Everybody should know that we are Christians by our love. And so as believers, with our freedom in Christ, next slide, with our freedom in Christ, we have many God-given rights to do many things, amen? But are you doing the right things in life? That's the question. Are you doing the right things? Paul is posing to these believers. He's saying, are you doing the right things as believers in the church of Christ? First verse, verse 23. Paul says, I have the right to do anything. You say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Amen? That's free will, right? We have the right to do anything. Paul is reminding these Corinthians that we are no longer under the law, but we are now under Christ. And because we're under Christ, yeah, we're saved, but there's a moral law, amen, that should be written on our hearts because of the Holy Spirit that is living in us, amen? A moral law. He was hoping they had not skipped over that moral law because of something that we call hyper grace, okay? Hyper grace. Hyper grace means it's the belief that God's grace means that Christians can do whatever they want to do because they cannot lose their salvation. And besides, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. Amen? That's hyper grace. You just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. No longer under any moral obligation or law. They thought we can do whatever we want because we're saved. They were wrong. Amen? And Paul was going to remind them that they were wrong. But before we condemn these Corinthians, okay, in our own mind, let us look at ourselves. Let us look at our own lives. We may not believe this doctrine of hyper grace, but sometimes it's evident in the way we live our lives. We think we can live any way we want because we'll just repent and God will forgive us, right? We can live any way we want. We do the things we shouldn't do because we know Jesus has taken the punishment on the cross. But do you know what that really is, what that's called? That's called abusing God's grace. Amen? Abusing God's grace. God didn't give you grace to do whatever you want, but He did give you free will because He loves you, and He wants you to make that choice. He wants you to choose. So Paul addresses this again in Galatians. He says in Galatians 5:13, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but not to use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love, right? We're free to do what we want, Amen? The evidence, though, of an immature Christian is the abuse of that grace of God. Or being ignorant of the fact that you're abusing it in the first place. If you don't know, you know, you're still growing in your faith, maybe. Amen? Someone who thinks they have a good relationship with the Lord, but they can live on, keep on living any way they want, is evidence. Amen? That is evidence, okay? Paul's telling you, he says, and this preacher will tell you too, it's not okay. It's not okay just to go live however you want. Amen? We got to be giving God glory and making Him happy. Amen? At the same time, we got to think of others. Okay? God does not want you to use your freedom to sin, basically. Now, will you lose your salvation to sin? I don't know. That's up to God. Amen? That's up to God. But the question may be, were you ever saved at all? That may be the question. Because if you were saved, you still got the right to do anything, to do whatever you want to do. That's free will. But the rest of that verse says, not everything is constructive, right? Not everything is, because some of it's just a waste of time. Amen? The question is not, can I do it? The question should be, should I do it? Right? Should I do it? Is it helpful to anybody else when I do it? Is it helpful to God's kingdom here on earth when I do it? Will the things I do be constructive towards others, especially the ones that we love, especially our family and our kids? Amen? The best decision I ever made was giving my life to Christ. Praise God for that. Amen? And because I gave my life to Christ, I try to live my life for others as well. It's not just my job, it's my heart. Amen? To live my life for others. Free will is a gift from God to choose the way we want to live. And the truth is, that's a great responsibility for us all. Amen? How do we want to live? Are we going to bow down to the flesh, or are we going to serve the God who saves? Amen? That's the question. So you have to choose to change, okay? You have to choose to change and want to please God. And if you do, it'll be the best decision you ever make in your life. Everything will change from that point on. Amen? Everything will change. I could go right back to being a drug dealer, a user, an alcoholic, and just all around crazy person lost in sin if I wanted to. I'd go right back today, right after service. Amen? And the devil tempts me all the time. Amen? None of us are beyond temptation in this flesh. Amen? But I love my God. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my grandkids. Way more than anything the devil could ever tempt me with. Amen? My God is good to me all the time. And I respect that, and I'm thankful and I'm grateful for that. Amen? Remember, there are many things that we're free to do, but there are just as many things that we're free not to do. Okay? And those are the things we got to think of. What are we free not to do? Verse 24, he goes on, he says, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. This is what a mature Christian's mindset should be, seeking the good of others, especially as a parent or a father. Before I was a godly father, I was a worldly father, okay? And during that time, my mission was never to please God or anyone else for that matter. My goal was only to please myself. Amen? It was all about me, 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 right? But that would all change when I got into recovery. And when I gave my life to Christ, I would become a godly father. And I'm glad my son waited until I became that to use me as a role model. Amen? Praise God for that. So a godly father, a godly man, a godly husband. A godly father doesn't merely ask, can I get away with this? Amen? He asks, is this going to build up my wife and my children? Is this going to build up those I love? The true spiritual leadership requires laying down your personal freedoms out of the love for the spiritual well-being of your household. Amen? Are we as fathers laying down our personal freedoms to support our families? Amen? Because I'm still free to go to the bar anytime I want, but I don't go there. Amen? I don't do that because I got a responsibility to God and to my family. A maturing Christian understands the responsibility that how they affect how they live affects those that are around them, wherever you're at, especially in the home. Amen? How much more a mature Christian father should be that is trying to be the leader in his home, right? Or maybe at work, or maybe here in the church. And now, in this mindset of being a mature Christian, Paul's going to conclude his argument that we've been hearing about food offered to idols that began in chapter 8. Amen? He says in verse 25, "Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience." Right? Eat anything sold. You see, back then, there was no Costco, okay? And there was no Winco, all right? Everyone went to the Mercado. No, I'm just kidding. They went to the meat market, okay? They had a meat market, amen? This is where they got all the meat for their main course or their dinner. And Paul and everyone knew that most of that meat that was sold had been sacrificed to idols, amen? Had been offered to idols. There was no special section for kosher meat over here and organic meat over here. It was just all mixed together. You didn't know if you were getting something that had been offered to idols or not. Amen? And remember, Paul had already said that they better not eat meat that was offered to idols because it's connected to demonic worship. Amen? So they better not eat it. So they'd have to go to the market and they'd try to not eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. And so they're telling Paul, "Paul, we got to eat. How are we going to, what do you want us to do? How do we know what's sacrificed and what's not? You want us to ask the butcher? Or what do you want us to do?" Amen? What Paul was saying was, "I want you to be aware, and I want you to be conscious of what you're buying and what you're eating, but don't be paranoid about it." Right? Don't be paranoid. If you don't know, then you don't know. Just buy it and eat it, and don't worry about it. Amen? He said, do it without raising questions of your conscience. He didn't want them to feel guilty about being unaware or uninformed. You see, Paul was trying to give them knowledge to praise God, but at the same time, he said, don't feel paranoid about it. We're going to break all that down and tell you why, but right now we're going to talk about what does God say about accountability? Amen? Accountability. As we grow in our faith and spiritual maturity, our rights as a Christian are going to decrease. Amen? And our responsibilities increase. Amen? All our rights to do whatever we want to do is going to decrease, and our responsibilities are going to increase. Amen? And that's what we call being accountable. Being accountable, a term most of us are familiar with in the world of addiction and recovery. Amen? Being accountable. God wants us all to be accountable to Him. Amen? All of us. If you want to be a leader in life, if you want to be a leader in your family, if you want to be a leader in the community, you have to lose a lot of those so-called rights in your life. Amen? And you got to gain more spiritual responsibilities. Be the leader God's called you to be. These believers were trying to do good, amen? And they were trying to be accountable at the same time, but they also needed to eat. And they had to provide for their family, right? Got to provide for their family. And so Paul would say, if you're not sure, don't worry about it. God knows. God knows, and you will not be held accountable for your unaware disobedience. God knows if you know or not, amen? Just like God knows if you know you're sinning or not, amen? God knows. God knows your heart, okay? God knows your heart, and your fear of God's knowledge should be enough to hold you accountable in all of your affairs. Just knowing that God knows, right, should be enough, especially those that affect a father's family. Amen? God knows. And then just for added confirmation, in verse 26, he quotes Psalms 24. He says, anyways, the Lord, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, right? Even this food that's been sacrificed to idols. Paul's reminding them everything's from God anyway, right? Even the sacrificed meat. Everything is a product of God's provision in this world. Everything is from God. Amen? Everything is God's creation. That just because man corrupted it, he's saying, doesn't mean that God didn't intend it for something good, right? So go ahead. If you're unaware, go ahead and eat it. This is how mankind and the world is without faith, okay? God creates things, amen? Beautiful things, and for the most part, what happens? Man destroys it. Amen? Man destroys it. In fact, man's been trying to destroy this planet ever since Adam and the apple. Amen? Whenever God gives something good to creation, man, whom God loves, amen, finds a way to destroy it or corrupt it. It's what we do in the flesh, amen? But it's okay because God created it for our good as well. Okay? Now let's talk about another key word. Isolation, all right? Paul said, if you worry too much about it, you're going to begin to isolate yourselves from the world. That's what he's trying to get to, amen? Don't worry about this meat sacrificed to idols if you don't know, because we don't want you to isolate yourself from the world. And all that does when we isolate is it limits our gospel impact, amen? It limits our witness, right? If we're not out there in the world, how are we going to be a witness? If we're locked up in a house all day long, isolating, how are we going to be a witness for Christ? What Paul was trying to help them avoid was the fact that as they became more spiritual, they would become more isolated, separating themselves from unbelievers. And as we know, because I mention it in almost every sermon, we were created to be in community. Amen? God created us to be in community with other people. God never intended for us to isolate ourselves from the world, okay? As believers, we're called to be a part of the body of Christ, part of the communion of saints, amen? Especially as a spiritual leader in your home, you got to be in community, amen? And as for these Corinthians, Paul did not want them to shut themselves off from the rest of the world, okay? Because of their paranoia, or because of their traditions. To Paul, their witness, here it is, their witness was more important than the risk. And it should be the same for us. Amen? Our witness is more important than our risk. To be in community is really speaking of being in the world. Right? Being in the world. Speaking of the world, right? Being of the world. Not just believers, but everyone. Okay? That's how we become a witness. Verse 27, he goes on, he says, if an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go ahead and go. Eat whatever's put before you without raising questions of conscience. Right? Paul's saying it's okay to be a maturing believer among non-believers. Right? How else are we going to be a witness? Right? Be a maturing believer among non-believers because they need to hear that message the most. Right? They need to hear it the most. But then again, some of us aren't spiritually ready to do that. Amen? Some of us are not spiritually ready to hang out with non-believers yet, okay? Especially not ready for the temptation that may come along with it, right? And I use the example of going to a family party, amen, and all my cousins are sitting around drinking, right? In my first couple years in recovery, I couldn't go to those parties. I couldn't even show up, amen, because I was afraid of the temptation, right? But today I go and I witness to them and I pray for them because they all want prayer. Amen. And that's the difference. Amen. Today I'm strong in my faith and I can do that. But don't isolate yourself from the world. Amen. When you're ready, be a witness. Be a witness. But know your limitations, okay? Know your limitations as a believer. And so he uses the example of an unbeliever inviting a believer to dinner. That it'd be okay to eat whatever they put in front of you, you know, T-bone steak or a tomahawk or whatever it is, right? Okay? It's okay to do that without having a conscience, okay? But remember, your witness is more important than your risk, okay? Why do something that would cause them to stumble when you're well with your soul, right? If they offer you something to eat, go ahead and eat it. Amen? Go ahead and eat it. Jesus loves us, so we love others. Amen? The goal of the church has never been to shut people out. We're called to do what? To go and make disciples. Amen? Go and make disciples. In fact, here at Amazing Grace, part of our mission statement says to love all people to Christ. Not just love believers to Christ, Love all people to Christ. And we truly live that out every week right here in this house of God. Amen? We welcome everyone here. Christians must never lose sight of our witness because we're worried about maybe our convictions or whatever. God has called us to be the salt and the light in the world. In the world. So do it wisely and strengthen your walk daily. Amen? Continue to strengthen your walk because remember, Christ is counting on you. Amen? As a believer, Christ is counting on you. There's a Curcio cross again. Amen? Then at the same time, Paul's talking about the other side of the coin or the other side of the cross. Okay? He says in verse 28, but if someone says to you, this food has been offered to in sacrifice, then do not eat it. Don't eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. Starting to get a little confusing here, amen? We're going to try to break it down for you. He goes on, he says, I'm referring to the other person's conscience, not your conscience. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? Okay, so for the sake of conscience in this context, what it means is that I limit my freedoms, that we should be limiting our freedoms for the good of others. Amen? Thinking of others. If someone says to you or these Corinthians that the meat's been offered to idols, whether they're believers or not, you have the responsibility as a believer to engage the culture. Amen? If you don't know what you're getting into, it's okay to be there and be the light if you're strong in your faith. Amen? But if somebody sees you getting ready to eat this tainted meat and they say, you know, that I think that meat's been sacrificed to idols. Amen? Or if an unbeliever flat out tells you, this meat has been sacrificed to idols, then now that you know, Paul's saying you shouldn't eat it. You shouldn't be a bad example for these people. You shouldn't eat it. What he wasn't saying is that if you don't know, if you do not know it's wrong and somebody tells you it's wrong, then it's wrong because they think it is. Amen? That's not what he's trying to say. What he is saying is that we should limit our liberties to guard non-believers from confusion. Amen? And be an example for Christ. Be aware of the people that we're influencing. Right? Be aware. Especially those that are baby Christians. Amen? Be aware. It was never really about the meat, okay? Paul was using it as an example, but it was never really about the meat. It was about our witness. It was about what kind of witness are you going to be. When there's an immature believer that is trying to grow in their faith, and they see a mature believer, or what's supposed to be a mature believer, doing something that confuses them because he's sinning, right? Then it's wrong. It's dangerous for them. Amen? We're just called to be the example. Be a living testimony. We should, above all things, be a living testimony to the unbelievers in the world. Right? Be a living testimony. And so that small, still voice, that's your moral conscience. Amen? That's your moral conscience that grows strong. And as it grows strong, so does your walk and so does your witness. Amen? And we got to use that. Because remember, as Christians, we should be living for the good of other people. And how much better way to do that than to be a witness for Christ? Amen? And this kind of witness, it seems like foolishness to the world. Because the world's all about me, me, me. Amen? But for those in the kingdom, it should be automatic. It should be a calling that we care for others, especially for fathers that are being an example for their family and for their children. Our kids are going to try to mimic and do what we do in life as parents. They're watching us real close. Amen? And I believe this is one of the most important responsibilities given to us by the Heavenly Father as parents. Amen? To be an example for our children. I also know as a grandparent with children who do not have a relationship with the Father, trying to be a witness and a mentor to our grandchildren can be a battle. And the older they get, the harder it gets. Amen? It can be a battle. But remember, the battle belongs to God. Amen? The battle belongs to God, and He gives us the strength, okay? So keep praying and keep trying for our grandkids. Amen. We just have to be the best witnesses we can be, the best example that we can be. Don't give up on our kids either. Amen. Remember, the stronger we are in Christ, the more we should be limiting our freedoms and doing good for others. Amen. It's not about us. It's about Him, and it's about serving others. That's what God wants us to be. A great father cares more about his family than he does about his freedoms. Amen? Verse 29, he goes on, he says, I'm referring to the other people's conscience, not yours, for why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? What he's saying here is that if you and someone of a lesser faith are at the meat market, or at Costco, whatever, right? And they say that the meat's been offered to idols, and this person says, well, I heard we're not supposed to eat that. Amen? We're not supposed to eat that meat. That it's been offered to demons, right? Amen? It's been offered to demons. So we shouldn't just say, well, you know what? You're right. We shouldn't be eating that. That would be the honest thing to say, right? Because if you're by yourself, what? You would eat it, right? If you're by yourself, you're strong in your faith, you would eat it, okay? So be honest with these people, amen? If they say, you know, shouldn't we not be eating that because it's been offered? Then say, yes, you're right, we shouldn't be, amen? But I am free to do the things I want to do in Christ. You see, we shouldn't limit our liberties to make others happy. That's the point, amen? Don't limit yourself to make others happy, okay? Paul's saying, I don't limit my Christian freedoms to make you happy, but I will do it to be a good witness. There's a difference, amen? There's a difference between making somebody happy and being a witness for them, because they're not always going to like the witness that they receive, amen? They're not always, but God will. God will. It's for Him, amen? How we live our lives can affect other people, especially those in our homes, in our household, especially our dear children. How we live affects them. Don't let anyone determine how you live your Christian life. Okay? That should be determined by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. Okay? You see, we're not called to please other people. We're called to please God. Amen? And which in turn should please others in the world. Right? Because what are we going to do? We're going to think of others first. Amen? We're going to please God in doing that. And in doing that, please others. Verse 30, he goes on, if I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something that I thank God for? He's saying that if there are no weak people around to influence, then I can do whatever my conscience allows me to do. Yes, but he goes even deeper because what he's saying is that even though there are no weak people to influence in a negative way, we should still ask ourselves a question, right? And we ask ourselves, can we thank God for what we're doing? Can we thank God for what we're partaking in? Amen? Because that's the true test, all right? Our gratitude will lead us to freedom in Christ if it's done correctly in faith. Amen? And as fathers, that freedom in Christ and that gratitude towards God should be leading our families as well. So you got to ask yourselves, amen, if we can thank God for what we're doing. It's one way to keep yourself on track. Amen? Speaking of fathers leading our families, okay? Got some statistics for you. Here we go. When dads come to church first, or come to Christ first, and lead their families, 93% of the families will follow. Right? 93%. Amen? All a dad's got to do is lead his family to church, and 93% of the time, they will all go. Okay? Next one. When mom comes to Christ first, 17% of the families will follow. Amen? 17%. When kids come first, which is an amazing thing in itself, right? 3.5% of families will follow. It's not to say that we don't want moms and kids coming first, but look how important it is that the father leads their family to Christ. Amen? That's how important it is, okay? Use your freedom in Christ to be the spiritual leader in your home. Amen? And the community, and you will please God while giving Him all the glory. Amen? It is prominent in all of America, anyways, that there's a lot more mothers in church than there are fathers. Amen? It's been that way for a long time. Amen? And we need to change that culture. right? The fathers need to be the ones leading our families, obviously, to church. Amen? Obviously. So he goes on to say that if you can eat the meat offered to idols without affecting the weak around us, we still have to ask the question, are we grateful for that meat? Amen? Are we grateful for that meat? And so here is the conclusion for all of us as believers, okay? Verse 31, he says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. So ask yourselves, is the way you live your life bringing glory to God? Right? That's another true check mark, right? Is the way you live your life bringing glory to God? And for fathers, is the way you lead your family bringing glory to God? Right? Is it bringing glory to God? This is how a mature believer must think. Mature believers shouldn't ask themselves, can I do it? They should ask themselves, will it bring glory to God if I do? Right? Is it going to bring glory to God? To God be the glory. Because if it doesn't bring glory to God or please God, then none of the other reasons matter. We shouldn't be doing it. Amen? And so we think of others because that's always pleasing to God. If we're thinking of other people, whether believers or not, we're pleasing God. Amen? Do the things you do in this life, okay? Ask yourselves this. Do the things you do in this life bring glory to God? Does our parenting bring glory to God? Does our labors bring glory to God? As a mature believer, and especially as a father, everything we do for ourselves and for the ones we love should bring glory to the God that created us all. Amen? It should bring glory to God because our loved ones are watching us. Amen? They're watching everything we do. Okay? And verse 32, he goes on, he says, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. It's about being a witness. This should be the heart of a believer. And that heart example, where does that come from? It comes from a Savior who gave us His all, who died for us. Amen? It comes from Jesus. What greater sacrifice has there ever been for the gospel than the cross of Jesus Christ? This is the selfless example that we can never live up to. Amen? But that we should strive to live up to every day. That's sanctification. Amen? To be more and more like Jesus. Okay? To use that gift of free will to be the greatest witness and example we can be in this life. Right? To be a role model for our children. I'm going to finish it up with chapter 11, verse 1. He finishes off by saying, follow, this is Paul saying, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Right? Church, we need to be the example that God wants us to be. All of us, single, married, whatever, we all need to be the example that God wants us to be. And fathers, thank you guys for all you do. Amen? Thank you for all you do. You play an important role in our families, and you play a very important role in the kingdom of God. Amen? So keep serving God. Give Him all the glory. Blessings on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you all. Thank you for being here. Amen? Let's give God all the praise. Amen? Come on. Yeah. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity today to preach a message that we all need to hear, Father, as servants, as Christians, and as leaders in our families, Lord. May you continue to give us the hope and the peace and the joy we need to get through each week, Father God, and to provide for our families, to be a witness for our families, and to be a witness for the world. Father, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for being the greatest father ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.